You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the opening day of the NBA season, October 17th. We'll talk about the expectations, what improves the Jazz. We'll take your questions, and we'll roll through a little look at the Sacramento Kings as well. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning into today's program. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for it. It's finally here. We've talked all offseason to get to this day, and we are finally here. Love it. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky little numbers. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and your smart speaker. If you could relay to me tonight how you listen to the game on the radio, I'm trying to really get everyone an understanding and try to help everybody so they can catch our broadcast. Ron Boone's going to be with me for all 82 radio games this year. So we hope you enjoy it. So that's the plan. I think if you're on international, you can subscribe to TuneIn. For that's expensive, $9.99 a month or $100 a year, but you get all baseball, all MLB, all NFL. Locally for $9.99, you can go to League Pass and get that for the entire season for $9.99. League Pass will get you the radio broadcast, and you should then be able to enable the NBA skill on Alexa and listen through your home speaker. So let me know. I'm very curious to know that. One note for you. We've done something really, really cool if you're an NBA fan. We have built a Twitter feed, Locked On NBA Net, that is all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one feed. Follow it. Tell me what you think. I think it's really, really cool. Right, I want to get to your questions, so submit them. That's my primary point today to doing a live show and being with you on this exciting day. Neil Mendenhall says, finally. Chris Garcia says, finally. Jason Goodsell says, ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. We're all fired up. So who are we? What is it going to be? How great is this team? I don't know, but I think we're at this really interesting level where what we're trying to get done this year is small, subtle, incremental jumps. It's not going to be that Donovan Mitchell gets way better than his historic, unbelievable rookie year. It's not going to be that Ricky Rubio becomes a totally different player. It's not going to be that Dante Exum suddenly just explodes into this other piece. It's going to be very, very small, incremental steps. It's going to be, I tweeted out today, that we make one more off-the-bounce three a night than we did before. And actually, not even that, actually, that we make one more a night's a lot. That we go from shooting 32% on off the bounce threes to 34%. So you're actually making, and you're taking, you know, one every five nights, you're making an extra one. I think, you know, we're talking about one extra offensive rebound a night for an extra possession that you, one less turnover. I actually don't care about turnovers. Never mind. I actually just don't. Like, fundamentally, my numbers tell me that turnovers don't matter. What Donovan Mitchell getting to the free throw line on one missed shot that now becomes a two free throws instead of a missed shot. It's really that type of tiny little incremental. And the other thing, I got asked yesterday by Tony Parks and Jake Scott what I was most curious about. And quite honestly, what I'm most curious about is, can the Jazz second half of the season defensive dominance continue in a first half of a season? So the Jazz last year in 26 of the final 33 games had a defensive rating below 101. In 38 of Gobert's 54 games, in which the Jazz were 36-18, they had a defensive rating of below 101. If the Jazz continue that level of defensive dominance, we're one of the top three teams in the Western Conference. We have been for the last 2 years with that defensive dominance. That's the question. You know, And I think, frankly, it's been 3 years in a row, so it's hard for me to believe that Rudy Gobert's going to become any less impactful along the way. The last 20 games of the year last year, our defensive rating was a 95.3. Okay, that seems insane. Last 15 games was a 97.4. That seems insane. Our offensive rating in the last 20 games last year was ninth. I don't know that we can do that. But if we do, the team we actually become is the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard. And I think this is one of those incremental things. So Dwight, the Orlando Magic with Dwight Howard in the 2010-11 season were the 10th-ranked offense, 3rd-ranked defense. In the 09-10 season, they were 2-2. And in the 08-09 season, so 10 seasons ago, a little more, they were the 8th-ranked offense and the number one defense, and they were 59-23. That's our peak. The Spurs of 16-17 were 7th offensively, number one defensively, and 61-21. If we can make these little incremental jumps that we're talking about, that's the end result is really incredible. You look through it, number one level defenses and 7-12 offenses is really what we're talking about. I don't think there's any chance we become the 7th best offense unless we really win the numbers game, quite honestly. But you look at it, the 7th-ranked offense of the Spurs and the 1-ranked defense was 61-21. Okay, I don't think we can get to 7 offensively, but we might be able to get to 10. And the Orlando Magic is a 10th-ranked offense, and the 3rd-ranked defense won 52 games. In the 07-08 season, which frankly the Boston Celtics won the NBA championship, they were the 10th-ranked offense. They were the number 1-ranked defense by a large margin. They won 66 games. I think that's probably a stretch, but that team was only 10th in the league offensively. And they were number one defensively by a large margin. Their defensive rating was a 98.9. They were so great defensively with Kevin Garnett, their version of Rudy Gobert, and Paul Pierce, their version of Donovan Mitchell, and yeah, Rajon Rondo, is our version of Ricky Rubio, and we're winning the title! No, we're not, but that's the model, right? Can we maintain, that's the curiosity I have, is can we maintain that level of defensive excellence that we showed in the last 20 games? And if we do, then can we get the offense right? Where can it go? And the offensive adjustments are these tiny, tiny incremental things. That's kind of been the theme of the week talking on the show. And if you've followed what we've talked about, that, you know, can the Jazz take 33 shots from 3-point range instead of 30? Can they take 35 3-point shots a game, which would be 42% of their shots? That's a perfect number. Can you get 42% of your shots from three and be at 38% around the rim? That's hard. That's suddenly 5 more shots that were mid-range shots are now at the rim while moving 3 of your mid-range shots to 3. Oh my. That's moving 10 shots. That's monumental. How many shots can we get at the rim a night? Okay? Like, the league's moved away from it a little bit. 13-14 season, there were 5 teams that took 37 or more percent of their shots at the rim. 14-15, there was 1. 15-16, there were 2. 16-17, there were 2. Last year, there was 1. So what would it be? What can the Jazz get done? Those are the little tiny incremental pieces of the puzzle. It's pretty awesome. I mean, it's going to take some real detail. It's going to take listening to Locked On Jazz every single day to know if it's really happening. How's that? I turned that all into one big, huge thing for me. That's the way it should be. Today's show is brought to you by The Store at 6200 South and 20th East. How about a June pie? while you're hanging out watching the game tonight. It's a late game, Sacramento. It's an 8 o'clock start for you guys. Maybe you should go pick up some of their meats in the back. They've got the new Haverford meats that they've done. It's incredible setup in the back right side. They've got their marinated meats, their frozen, their pot pies. It's kind of getting chilly all there. 6200 South, 20th East. It's the store. They do such a marvelous job by giving you the local feel, bringing in the local customers, our local vendors, and then giving you that feel. And then obviously an incredible, incredible lineup of items from the back where you see the great meats to the barbecue things to their sandwiches they're making every single day to their great rolls that they have for you for a lunch grab and go stuff to the mudslide cookies. Number one, baby. That team is everything. Mudslide is everything. Hashtag mudslide is everything. For you over there. So go get it all at the store at 6200 South, 20th East. As we head into the holiday season, they can take care of many of your items as well. All right, let's start getting to the questions. I really want to hear from you. Can I be introduced to Joe Ingles? Matt Moon. All right, if I remember at Shootaround, I'm going to Shootaround. Joe was just sitting outside with Justin Zanuck and Mike Elliott and having a coffee and right outside. I went to coffee today with, just so you kind of get the huge debate at coffee today about the impact of systems on players. Me being a numbers guy tries to claim that systems don't have an impact while sitting with coaches and a GM or assistant GM. Probably not the smartest thing I've ever done. But we had a nice coffee today with Fotis and Vince and Zach Guthrie and David Morway. So a lot of fun. Everyone's fired up and ready to go. Oh, just knocked that over a little bit. Let me see if I can fix that. There we go. Can you introduce me to Matt Moon? Well, you're in Australia, Philip, so that is going to be really hard for you to meet Matt Moon. Do you see that Kenny had compared Donovan's supporting cast to LeBron has in L.A.? Do you think that's valid, or does he have a point? I think he's totally off, but wanted to get your opinion. So he is – I didn't hear it. So his take is that Lonzo Ball, Rajon Rondo, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Jason Hart, JaVale McGee, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley is better than Ricky Rubio, Joe Ingles, Rudy Gobert. I'm going to quibble with that. I'm really going to quibble it because of Rudy, frankly. I mean, I just think Rudy's one of the 10 best players in the NBA. So when we're doing this kind of quibble and looking at these kind of things, that's where I think LeBron doesn't have another top 20 player in the league. But LeBron's number two or one or three in the league, probably one. Steph, by the way, is far and away the best offensive player in the league. I hope everybody understands this. So I think that, you know, LeBron's far better than Donovan or Rudy, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's actually, Mitchell, I think it's a pretty good thought by Kenny, and maybe an area where we're underestimating the Lakers. The issue with the Lakers is how much of a positive impact LeBron is going to have on everyone. Right? So that's really the issue in LA, is how much is LeBron going to impact what everybody else does, and how much is Brandon Ingram going to get way better because he's playing with LeBron? Jason Hart's a really nice player. Is he going to get better because he's playing with LeBron? Lonzo Ball, by the way, for all of our like dismissing Lonzo Ball and Donovan Mitchell off the bounce three, exact same last year. So if we think Donovan's going to get better shooting, you probably got to figure Lonzo Ball. Now, Donovan's not doing that crazy stuff with his shot, but he should be able to fix that too. Philip tells international subscribers, League Pass gets you video as well as audio. One thing we'd love to see as the NBA do is have the option to listen to the radio feed while watching the video. Yes, I hear Major League Baseball and NFL do that, and the NBA doesn't. It's dismissive to radio announcers, and it's totally unacceptable. After watching the Boston game last night, I couldn't help to notice how much Gordon benefited from an offensive system designed around him as a primary scorer with Boston doesn't. With Boston's talent, does that disappear? He ran sets last night as he did in Utah, and it was clear he made third option. Still Hayward fan. I just think it might be a hard year for him. So, one, I don't think Gordon's physically right. I think it's going to be a really hard process for him. Thinking solely from Gordon's standpoint, the concern is that that team's going to pass him by, right? Jason Tatum's their best player. Kyrie Irving's right there. And then Gordon. And Gordon's, assuming Gordon's great, follow that by Jaylen Brown's development, that while Gordon's getting healthy, I think it's going to be really interesting to see whether or not he doesn't get left behind by that team. The other thing is, there was so much of an emphasis on pace of play. The guys are just running wind sprints. You're pushing the ball up. Everyone's jacking quick shots. Everyone's just running wind sprints. I'll tell you what. We slow it down and play defense. I love our chances. Fine. It might restrict a little bit of what we do offensively, but defense matters just as much. No one seems to understand this. We'll slow it down. We'll let everybody touch. We'll run our systems. We'll hit you with 12 picks of possession and beat the out of you. And while you get to go run up and down against everybody else, and we'll play in altitude and just blast you and see how you like that. I'm a homer. I'm in the bag for our coaching staff. I'm in the bag for our front office. I'm in the bag for our ownership. I mean, not just because they pay me, because I see so much of what they're doing. I see how much they're working. I'm totally biased. But I love what we're doing compared to what the rest of the league's doing. Now, maybe we're going to go 44-38, and that's going to just happen. But the rest of the league's just talking pace, 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 pace. I never hear any talk about efficiency. I'd rather play defense, move the ball, let everyone touch it, set a million picks, and then play smart, analytical shot distribution basketball on both the offense and defensive sides. Like, I think that's a huge thing. We fix our, just tweak it. Not even fix it. We were pretty good. I think we were ninth in the league in shot distribution last year. Just tweak it. Last night, there was just an inordinate amount of mid-range shots and non-restricted area twos. Maybe that's because everybody is playing so fast. Non-restricted area twos are bad. Bad. Evil. Awful. Bleh. One out of every five shots can be a non-restricted area two. That's how you should think about it. I just think Gordon's not physically right. They don't run a lot of stuff either. How deep the bench can play and the injury factor will be huge. Yeah, I would suspect Grayson doesn't play tonight. I would suspect that we go with 10 guys. Grayson's not one of them. Like, I don't think we're going deeper than 10 unless we have to. Now, I suspect that you might as well use the depth in some way in certain matchups. There might be a night where you even know beforehand. You know what? Like Dante's knee is still tweaks every now and then, so like take a night off. Alec, you're coming off your take a night off. Like, if the data shows that on the back end of a back to back you're 20% slower than you are if you play without a back to back, then on the back end of a I've always believed in your A team and your B team. If this league's not going to expand and the depth of talent's going to be as deep as it is right now, I think the next wild thing in this is the A and the B team, that you suddenly start. I mean, I don't think we would ever do it with Rudy because, you know, Rudy and Donovan at 80% are still good enough, but maybe you give Faves a night off, and then Faves comes back the next night, he's at 100% instead of running at 20% of what he's 20% less of what he's regularly doing. You give Tabo a night off, and you give Alec a night off and let Grayson play those minutes. I think there's a great value to doing stuff like that. Any word on Neto's status? I would suspect he will be inactive tonight. You can have 13 players active. We will have 17 players with us. Tyler Cavanaugh, Naz Long, Tony Bradley, and Howell Neto would be my guess on inactives. And I think that that's because of the hamstring still. Can you introduce Matt Moon to Joe Ingles? I might. I know it's preseason last week, but we destroyed the Kings. Do you expect a similar result? And furthermore, the Lakers struggled with the Kings in preseason. I don't worry. That last one I don't worry about. We should beat Sacramento. Well, like, if we're going to be who we think we are, there are not a lot of not very good teams in this league. Sacramento is one of them. We need to win this game. Osley Murray, how are you, dear? Hope you're great. She's cut my hair in the past. I do know who she is. I'm not just calling some random woman dear. It's a really old thing, though. I think like I just became so old I call people dear. Does it look all right? Do I pass? Does the hair look okay? All right, thanks. Towards the end of the year in playoffs, I noticed as we faced more switching defenses, Rudy seemed to be more trying to get under the basket with his smaller opponent. Did I see this correctly? And if I did have the guys been working on how to get him the ball, high passes have been a huge focus of training camp and what we're trying to do as a franchise. High passes. Because when they switch, if they got a smaller guy in Rudy, and to Rudy's credit, and this is how this is great coaching, but this is to Rudy's credit, as we have focused more and more on high passes, I've seen Rudy go into the post with more commitment than I've ever seen him do before. Today's show is brought to you by The Athletic. The Athletic is here for you. Tony Jones, former Salt Lake Tribune writer, now writing for The Athletic. The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. So it's web-based, app-based sports coverage, no ads, no pop-ups, no autoplay videos. They have a big feature on Gordon if you want to watch the thing on his return. Go to theathletic.com/lockedonjazz. And you get 40% off for $2.99 a month. Theathletic.com/lockedonjazz. Sam Amick had a fabulous piece last week about Kobe Bryant impacting Jeannie Buss's firing of Mitch Kupchak and that whole thing to be able to turn it back over to Magic and Rob Pelinka. Eric Name had a fabulous piece on Giannis Antetokounmpo. So there's some great NBA writing that's taking place. A good tiers piece by Sam. James Edwards went and got a prediction piece going this week. So theathletic.com/lockedonjazz. Subscribers have access to local and national content with more than 650 to 700 news stories published every week across all sports. That's theathletic.com/lockedonjazz. Today's show is also brought to you by Vivid Seats. Please make sure that you take advantage of Vivid Seats' new user discount with the promo code LOCKEDON. You receive $20 off orders of $200 or more for new customers of Vivid Seats. It's an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. You can watch your favorite teams, your favorite artists in person. Vivid Seats can help find their seats to your favorite live events, whether it's Elton John coming next year to wrap up his career, whether it's the Warriors on Friday night. Whatever it might be, Vivid Seats offers great prices, easy purchasing experience. Go to the Google Play Store, the Apple Store, and go to Vivid Seats app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Receive $20 off orders of $200 or more as a new customer. All Vivid Seats orders are backed by 100% guarantee. Locked on to receive $20 off orders of $200 or more. Sam Amick will be my guest on Locked On NBA for Thursday this week. Sam Amick, this is a special announcement. Only Locked On Jazz people are learning this. Ben Golliver, SI, Sam Amick, The Athletic, have both signed up to be weekly guests on Locked On NBA. Pretty cool. Pretty big time announcement right there. Just kind of subtly threw that into the show just for you guys. I blew out your speakers. Sorry. Sorry, I keep pushing on this, and I have just a small little coffee cup that's holding it up, so my fault. I wish I had cable so I can watch Jazz games. Okay, so can we discuss this? This is insulting. Tyson's complaining to me that he wishes he had cable. And then I get bent out of shape, and then I read the next sentence. Because when I listen to Jazz radio, I'd like to match it. I try to imagine the plays that you're calling, and it makes me want to see them, and it drives me nuts. Then he's all sweet and makes me feel so good about myself. I actually need to see the picture, which is actually going on, just trying to imagine it. You know what I mean. No, you don't need cable. You need me and Ron Boone bringing you the insight, taking you through the journey, having you feel as though you're sitting right next to us and feeling the passion of Jazz basketball via the radio, whether it's the Alexa home speaker, your phone on the 1280 app, whether it's streaming or whether it's on. That's what you need. Just me and Ron. Cost of cable versus cost of two season tickets, equally surprisingly similar. Two season tickets and listen on the radio. Ajali is sad that Take Note is no longer a thing. It's just that we have a new one. Team is everything. We are pumped, Tyler. We are super, super pumped. How much time do you expect Grayson Allen will get? I think I answered that. I don't expect he'll play tonight. You know what? And he's been great. It's really a testament to how well Dante and Alec have played. It's not a statement of Grayson. And it goes back to the question I asked Grayson on Media Day of how he's going to react if that happens. And he said, you know what, this happened to me in college, and I have to understand that it's not because I'm not very good. It's because the other guys are really good. Here's how it works. The average player in the league sits out 10, 11 games a year, just out of injuries. They don't usually happen in the first 10 or 12 games. So now we've got six wing players: Ingles, Rubio, Donovan, Royce, Alec, Dante. Grayson's the backup for all three of those positions, the third guy. So when everyone's healthy, he's going to have a hard time getting in. But if you just kind of play the math, if everyone starts to miss their games, Grayson plays a lot. So he'll play 60 games. He'll play 15 minutes a game when he plays. He'll be really important. He's really good. But it just has to happen. It's going to take a little while. Chris Garcia, I'm curious about the new coach and how much his style differs from Igor. I mean, they're European. That's the comparable thing. I don't think they're similar at all. And Igor had spent – they're very different because Igor had spent a huge amount of time with the Detroit Pistons, won an NBA championship. He'd been at the University of Missouri. Fotis has spent all of his time in Europe, so he's really assimilating to the NBA game. So they're very similar. Vince is really interesting. Vince is from Atlanta, working with Bud. Kenny Atkinson is now the coach at Brooklyn, and Mike Budenholzer in Atlanta, then went to Minnesota last year, now is here. He's a really insightful, interesting new coach, too. Ben Simmons went off last night. I have to say I was a bit surprised. Why? He's so good. I'm excited to see healthy Thabo play a role, especially defensively. Well, you don't get Thabo for five games because he's been suspended, Jason. So it'll be five more games before you see Thabo. Thank you, Ajali says I'm looking good. Who will be this year's sixth man of the year for the Jazz? Royce, Thabo, Joe, Alec, or Dante? So many options. I hope it's Dante. I think he has the most upside. I think that's probably true. I hope it's Alec. I hope Alec shoots better than, what did he shoot last year, off the bounce? Alec Burks last year off the bounce threes was 35%. And catch-and-shoot threes was 31. So if Alec can get his catch-and-shoot three game up to 35, he's a 35% three-point shooter. I think Alec is a game-changer in that regard. He's got to play well defensively. But last year, truthfully, here's what we need. Last year, Alec Burks was in the 82nd percentile in usage. This is from cleaning the glass. 82nd percentile in usage, 27th in points per shot attempt. Jay Crowder was 77th in usage. 77th percentile in usage, 22nd percentile in points per shot attempt. Let me say that again. Alec Burks was 82nd percent in usage for his position, percentile. So, right? So if you got a test, you get a B minus for that. He was a 27th percentile ranking in the league in points per scoring attempt. Crowder was 77th percentile in usage, high, right? There's only 23% higher. 22nd in points per scoring attempt. Those two things have got to get better. If they get better, our bench will be fine. Any good art in Sacramento? Let me flip the camera around. This is, for those who are new to this, we have a art. There's the only art in my whole hotel room. Not a single other piece of art in my entire hotel room. We do this every. We do the art tour, the hotel room art tour. What do you feel like we can expect from Royce O'Neal this year? I feel like he's got a potential to really step up and be the sixth man we need. I want Royce to be exactly what Royce was last year. Honestly, I don't need a lot more from Royce. Great defense player, tough, physical. Maybe play a little four this year. Make some shots. Shot well last year. Had great shot distribution last year. Didn't get caught trying to be one-on-one in the mid-range. Played either way. Few charging fouls. Who cares? Loved it. Cody Duran, thank you very much. Ajali says, I listen to David and Ron in my shop when I can't watch games, and I feel like it's just as exciting. And Court McMullen says, how many minutes does Royce get this year? Seems like he... With a healthy Dante and Alec playing well, Royce may get the short end of the stick. I think you want to keep Joe Ingles to about 29, 30 a night instead of the 33, so that's about 18 to 20 minutes for Royce. So I don't think he gets the short end of the stick as well. All right, a few notes on Sacramento. They obviously were not very good last year, and they are not projected to be very good this year. here's a few things to keep an eye on. Buddy Hield is pretty good. Has made some really nice strides last year on catch and shoot threes. He was 50% and 52% in the corner. So keep an eye on those things with Buddy Hield. The pick and roll game between De'Aaron Fox and Willie Cauley-Stein was really good last year. And Buddy Hield and Willie Cauley-Stein was good. But pick and roll with anybody other than Willie Cauley-Stein was not. So it'll be interesting if they can pick that up with Marvin Bagley. But their offense after a made shot was 29th. Their defense after a made shot was 30th. So those are problems. We have not played particularly well against Sacramento. If you look last year, our defense had a brutal night in the first matchup. Our offense was really good. Then our second night, our offense had its 61st ranked night of the year. And in our third game, our offense had the 50th ranked item of the year. So, or 50th game of the year. Hield had 23 off the bench in our last meeting. We won 103-97. We won 98-91. And Donovan went off in January against them. So, I mean, they're not great. They throw a lot of passes, but they're low in ISOs, but they don't have a very good pick and roll game. They were 30th in points off pick and roll last year. Their only effective pick and roll game was with Willie Cauley-Stein. Those are your notes on the Kings. We'll open it up. I'll be back with you tomorrow because Locked On Jazz is your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, and hopefully we'll be 1-0 talking about the game, and then Friday we'll get ready for the Warriors. Have a great one.